One of the most powerful ways to speed your path to love and connect to your own personal wisdom is by having a 5 or 10 minute daily practice. And in this episode, I'll teach you the kind of practices that will open your heart and change your future in love and in personal growth. So stay tuned to the Deeper Dating Podcast.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, dear folks, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page. I'm a psychotherapist. I'm the author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, the creator of the Deeper Dating Intensive, and your host in this podcast. Really excited about what I'm going to talk about today, which is the power of a daily practice to bring wisdom and insight and open new doors for you, amazing new doors in your search for love. But first, I just want to say that in this and every episode, I share with you the greatest tools and skills and insights that I know from all my years of work as a psychotherapist and in my own personal life to help you find beautiful love and keep it flourishing in your life. Because the skills of dating are nothing more than the skills of intimacy, which are the most beautiful, powerful, important, mysterious, and compelling insights and skills of our lives. This is like the great journey. Nikki Giovanni said, we love because it's the only true adventure. And in some ways that is so, so true. So we're going to talk today about how to turn your search for love into a spiritual adventure. And I just want to say that this episode and every episode, you can just go to Deeper Dating Podcast and you can pull up the complete transcript of this entire episode and every one of my 180 something other episodes. So there's just a rich, rich library of growth work for you there. And I hope you enjoy it. You can also find out more about my Deeper Dating Intensive, which is a 6-month journey, which I'm now interviewing for. So you'll get to hear about that too. But let me jump in. So at a certain point in my life, I thought, how did I do it? How did I find a wonderful, wonderful relationship with all of my intimacy issues, with all of my fears of intimacy, with all of my character defects, with my incredibly, incredibly terrible, terrible track record at finding a relationship that lasted like hardly at all? Like, what helped me do this? Because I was really missing some pieces here. And we're talking decades, decades of this. So the two things that I felt were the most profoundly important were, well, okay, so there was like a third, which is like moving away from the horrible, disgusting, frustrating, debilitating dating myths about what attraction really is and how to find love and who I needed to fix myself to become, as opposed to the deep journey, which is becoming yourself, living that, and then looking for the people who that opens up their soul, that opens up their heart, and they do the same for you. That's the path to happiness. That's like, I think, the simple, deep, and beautiful path. Not so easy, but simple. Anyway, apart from breaking the myths, the two things that I found made the most powerful and profound difference in my ability to be able to find beautiful love from being like so bad at it were a daily spiritual practice, and a community of support. I've talked about this before. We formed a group of chronically single psychotherapists, and it was a life-changing experience for me and really helped me and, you know, most of the other members as well. Those are the two things: ongoing support and then a spiritual practice, which meant the spiritual practice. And that's what I want to talk about today. The beauty, the magic. Here's what I want to tell you. And I really, really mean this. 5 minutes a day, maybe 10 minutes a day of a targeted spiritual practice directly related to your search for love will change your life in such profound and beautiful ways. I can't say it strongly enough, because we organize around our defenses, the ways we protect ourselves. That's our safety place. That's our default place. It's like this. It's like a rubber band. Let it be, and it's going to default to its smallest, safest position. Hold it out to something bigger and wider, and the opportunities, the size, the amplitude becomes so much greater. It's the same for us. Left to our own devices, we kind of default into protectiveness, whatever protectiveness looks like for us. For me, it looked like lots of different things, which I can talk about maybe today or maybe some other point. Like, I know I've talked about it before, but basically an intense like type focus where there was a certain type of guy who was like it for me. And that was what I pursued. And that was all I pursued. And it failed again and again and again. I didn't do good with those types because it was more than a physical type. Even though I thought it was just a physical type, it was not. It was a character type too. And what I came to discover was the profound ways in which that character type that I kept trying to get to love me had in that type a dishonoring of who I was. And I felt like I had to convince them to something different.
I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a 6-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page, you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back.
This is deep, deep stuff, how those patterns worked. But that was one of the places I defaulted to. Bad choices. Lousy picker. Trying so hard, and the ugly, 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 ugly cursed place of feeling like there was something lacking in me. I wasn't attractive enough. I wasn't thin enough, and I wasn't confident enough. I think those were like, if you had to, you know, hone them down, those would be like the, oh boy, those were the reasons I didn't find love. Well, they were not the reasons I didn't find love, but it took spiritual practice to get me out of that groove where I just kind of kept doing the same things again and again. And a spiritual teacher of mine, Paramahansa Yogananda, who has been a teacher of mine since I was 17 years old, which is 50 years ago. Anyway, he said this thing that I thought was so great, and I've shared it here, that the human heart becomes hardened and flinty when left to its own devices. And that does not lead to good things. A practice, and I'm going to share with you some possibilities for what your practice could be. But when you have a practice, what it's going to do, and a practice directly related to your intimacy journey, not just watching your breath, which I think watching your breath is a powerful and wonderful thing, but a practice directly related to your intimacy journey. When you have that, there's going to be a dawning of new possibilities. There's going to be a reconfiguration of self. There are going to be new options. There is going to be new luck. It doesn't happen quickly, but it's profound and it's existential and it's deep. You will begin to reform around the beauty of your own internal wisdom and your heart. And you will be less likely to default into these hardened defensive places that just are not going to work for you. They're going to create the same kind of patterns enacted again and again. There's more that happens when you do a practice. You tap into an ongoing sense of your own beauty and possibility. There's hope that lies in having a spiritual practice. When I say spiritual, I do not mean theistic. Although for some of you, it will be very theistic. It'll be very God or goddess or spirit related, and that's glorious and fine, but it doesn't have to be. This is what it does need to be: a calling from inside, an asking for healing, for guidance, for the magic of insights that you don't have yet, or even just asking that your beloved, whoever they are, moves closer to you. And I'm going to share some practices with you, and I'm going to mention two episodes where I talk about those practices. And I'm going to do that right now. Okay, so the first episode is episode 3, where I teach the inner mentor practice, which is one of the most beautiful and powerful practices I know, to somehow almost miraculously get away from your inner critic and touch your inner wisdom. I mean it. I find it miraculous after years of doing it. I have a really strong inner critic. I find it miraculous how this passes past that inner critic. And the other thing that it will do is it will give you wisdom that almost feels like it came from somewhere else. Like, you know that it makes perfect sense to you, but you wouldn't have thought of it on your own if you didn't do that practice. Episode 3 teaches you the inner mentor process. Episode 26 teaches you a contemplative process of creating your own asks, prayer, something that you can kind of like just take 10 minutes and find words that really touch your heart for what you want, how you want to change, what you would need help and guidance with. And you say it, and then you just kind of ride with the ripples of the feelings that come up. Sometimes they're going to be really intense. They'll burn. Sometimes you'll be thinking of your shopping list or people who annoyed you or things you have to do. Then you'll go back. And each time that you have a feeling that comes with those words, and I teach you how to do that in episode 26, but all you do is find the words. And I'll share with you my words that I used. I used a few different practices, but one was from my spiritual teacher, Yogananda, and it was this: God, so it was theistic. You don't need to make it theistic. Bless me that I choose my life companion based on your ways of perfect soul unity. Now, this blew me away and reorganized me in profound ways. And I'll tell you how. Because I was like, wait a minute. No, that's not how this works. God, bless me that I find somebody who I think is hot. And then I hope and pray that they're right for me and that they love me and that I fall in love with them and that we can have a life together. That I was like, that's what you have to start with. But then there was another part of me that said, oh my God, someone with whom my soul feels safe. That's like really interesting. Somebody with whom my deepest soul qualities can blossom and feel held and seen and safe. And I found that. And I wouldn't have found that if I didn't reorient. And I wouldn't have reoriented if I didn't have a practice that day after day reoriented me toward soul unity, as opposed to, is he hot? Will he like me? So, okay, what does this mean? What might this mean for you on your journey? Well, the first thing would be to say, all right, I'll give this a try. I will give this a try for a few weeks. I will do 5 minutes, maybe 10 if I can. I will find a practice that is not dry, is not boring, is not just a simple process to calm myself, but is directly related to my search for love. Another practice that I used to do was I would just picture my beloved. I was like, well, somewhere out there is my beloved. He's there. He would love someone like me. I don't know where the hell he is, but he's there. I'm going to call to him. And I would just say, my beloved, I open my heart to you. Wherever you are, I'm inviting you in. I would do that. And then, okay, so like, what can I say? Like gay man, Broadway musicals. But there's a song, Goodnight, My Someone, from The Music Man, where somebody actually, she sings this song to the someone that she hasn't met yet. And she says goodnight to him. This like moved me a lot. And I would sometimes use that. And it was very moving and very beautiful. All of these were like my practices that I did. And they changed my life. They regrooved me. They reorganized me. They opened my heart to love. They opened me to a kind of magic that I would not have been open to. And they shifted me out of my very, very rigid ways of thinking that I was going to search for love, and my very, very rigid ways of believing that there was this deep inherent flaw in me of not being sexy enough, attractive enough, confident enough, manly enough. I guess that really kind of goes with it too. So I did these practices and I felt them change me. I felt them change me. Was it easy? No. Did I need other support? Absolutely. But these will burn space into your being where there was cloggedness, where there was filler. And in that space will be an openness, a sense of possibility, and a connection to your own beauty. So I just want to tell you though, like, okay, let's say you do 5 minutes. Let's say fabulously you do 10 minutes. Realize that some days will be better than others. Realize that your mind will wander. I have ADHD, so my mind wanders a lot. I have been a really pretty sloppy meditator for a really, really long time, more than, well, I guess about 50 years. And my meditations are amazing and I get less sloppy. And as I get older, I believe more in the rigor of doing my practices correctly. But sloppy or not sloppy, they have given me so much. So I think that you will find that if you do this, and I guess I'm going to dive a little bit more in giving you instructions too, so you don't feel lost about that. But if you do this, here's some of the things that you're going to find. You will find that you are touching your deep heart. The part of us that longs is hard to touch because it burns. That longing comes with maybe sadness, with aching, with the feeling of like, I can't let myself feel that longing because what if it doesn't happen? It'll break me. But when you have a practice and you do this, there's also a sense of hope. So I just want to acknowledge that longing burns, but what it does is it burns new space into your being. It allows space where love can land that was once filled with a lot of clutter, a lot of kind of like personality clutter. So you will find that happening to you. You will find that your luck begins to shift. I think that's another thing that happens. There's a magic that happens. Like your intimacy life will get better. It will really begin to change. Also, and this is a really, really, really fabulous thing, is you were more likely to get intuition whispers, which are the most beautiful, glorious, fabulous fucking thing in the world. Pardon my language. I don't usually curse on this, but I wanted to. So what do I mean by that? You'll get an insight of someone who you hadn't thought of in a while, but you realize that they touch your heart. And it's like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. You might reach out to them. You might get a message of go to a certain place at a certain time. You might feel called to do something in particular. You might realize that you behaved with a hardened heart and that caused a problem and you don't want that problem to be there. So you kind of express remorse. You go back and you fix it. But when you get your intimacy whispers, like these whispers of insight, they are your gold and they're also your stepping stone. It's like if you picture having to get across a wide river and you know you can't do it, but there are these rocks and you could jump from rock to rock. So you get an insight, you get a whisper of insight, and then you do that. And that leads you to your next one and your next one. If there's any way to get out of the conscious and unconscious ruts that you might have in your search for love that make the same kind of patterns appear and reappear, it is through this daily practice of softening your heart, calling for love, acknowledging that you are open to being changed, that you are open to the fact that that call of love is going to ask things of you. It's going to ask you to be different. It's going to ask you to reach out. It's going to ask you so many different things. But that asking is going to be like a scary but cool challenge. I mean, I think every time you get one of those whispers of intimacy, it's just such a fabulous, fabulous thing because you know it's gold. It may be scary. It may be hard to do, but you know that it's gold. So I want to share with all of you a little bit more about how to do this. Listen to episode 3 and listen to episode 26. This will give you a menu of ideas. Or you can get my book, Deeper Dating. I believe it's chapter 6 that talks about this. I talk about it as well in my course. And of course, we spend a great amount of time on this in the intensive. We work with the inner mentor regularly so that we're constantly getting messages of guidance, hopefully every day. But if not every day, then really frequently. And you can learn more about that by just going to deeperdatingintensive.com. So those are some ways you can do it. But I'll tell you now in this episode as well. So the one thing is craft or find an ask or a prayer that touches your heart, that burns, that maybe brings a tear to your eye, that makes your heart feel a kind of ache. You want one that's deeply connected. No matter how nice anything is, you do not want it unless it moves and quickens your heart. If it does, that's really, really awesome. You might find a small library of those things and work with them every day for 5 or 10 minutes. You say it and you wait for the ripples and then you ride them like you would ride a boogie board on a wave. Maybe it's sadness, maybe it's ache, maybe it's hope. It's going to be all different kinds of things, but some of them are going to be imbued with such wisdom that you will feel and you will know is your native wisdom. And that's like, I don't know what words to find about how wonderful that is. And it will happen for you if you continually do this practice. I'll share one other thing, which is that I had gone through a really difficult period with someone who I cared about a lot. And it lasted a long time. And I would sit every day and meditate. And a lot of time there was just pain. A lot of time there was helplessness. Sometimes there were messages. Thank God for those messages, because they gave me a clue of what I could do next. Things ended up being pretty good, pretty wonderful, but it was a long journey. In that journey, though, you know, there were so many days when I didn't get messages and I didn't get answers, but there were days when I did, and they changed my future. They changed our future. So that will happen for you. You will get these beautiful messages. So you just take 5 or 10 minutes. Every time you get a feeling, you ride with that feeling, because when you ride with it, what's happening is like when you don't cut it off and go to say the thing again, but you give it the full kind of room to ride with it. What's happening in those moments that you feel moved and touched is a download is occurring, and that download is changing your circuitry. And that is sacred and awesome. And that means it's changing your future. So you want to go with a full download so that it can happen. I encourage all of you to do this and just take on this dimension of true adventure, an internal adventure guided not by all of these ugly barrage of shoulds that we get in so much dating advice, but instead by this beautiful, innate, native wisdom that's going to come from your depths, from deep inside of you. I would love to hear your experiences with this. And I'm so excited for every single one of you that says, all right, I'm going to take this on and I'm going to do it because I know how it changed my life and how it changed my future and how absolutely essential that was. So thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for being on this journey with me. Please do subscribe. Leave me a review if this work touches you or moves you. Try these adventures. Let me know how that goes. You can find me on all social media. But go to deeperdatingpodcast.com and sign up for my mailing list so that you can get tons of free resources, wisdom, information, and ideas. Thank you all so much.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.